Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Lieutenant Jim Perez, we usually have him on a Monday for Crime on the Mind, but something that happened in Fairfield actually sparked some interest for both Lauren and I, and I think some of you guys at home. So good morning, Lieutenant. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning. Good. How are you? Good morning, Lauren. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks for being here. So, obviously, you know that there was the incident earlier this week. A bobcat ended up in somebody's backyard, a 12-year-old boy getting bitten by this bobcat. First of all, do we know if the bobcat has rabies? Do we know that yet?
Well, we do not know that. I know that during the call, medical attention was refused. It happened that I guess the child was outside. And the bobcat came up to the child and sort of almost like swatted at him, creating a minor scratch, but really ripping his shirt off. But the kid ran away. And I got to tell you, these things will happen on occasion where we're more and more in the last like few years, we have seen more and more the presence of bobcats.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll say this. And I'll tell this to everyone, really, because this is how it should be. First of all, you should never approach any wild animal, much less a mountain lion or a bobcat coming out. But more importantly, it's very important that people take certain steps to prevent these bobcats from even showing up, such as, you know, making sure that you're landscaping. Because remember, bobcats love deer, so that's the carnivores. But so one of the things they should do is prepare their property or make it so landscape-wise so that so you don't attract deer. And that's very important because if you attract deer, then right behind it is going to be, you know, the mountain lion. So make sure that you reduce your trim your bushes so that you don't, you know, so that they don't get attracted to you. But more importantly, if you ever, you know, if you ever come across a bobcat or you think that there's a bobcat, it's important that you create a big target. Bobcats like to go after prey that's usually four-legged, so if you bend over or if a small child's in the yard, they're going to mistake it as prey. This doesn't happen often. Bobcats are very elusive, but they do have the possibility of attacking if cornered or if they're sick, like you said, with the rabies. We don't know that yet. We've never seen it again. Patrol has been on alert. We have been, you know, cautioned to try and catch it. Animal control is working on it as far as in the state as well. But I will tell you this, creating a big target is really what's going to scare the bobcat away. You have to make it believe that you're a bigger threat to the bobcat than the bobcat is to you. One other thing is you shouldn't turn away. So if you come across one, it's important that you not turn away because that's almost a sign of weakness, and bobcats like to attack head and neck. And so if you bend over or if you turn away, they might look at it as an attack point.
Only because so many people will initially think, you know, you run away from these animals. That's what you do. But maybe that's not
right.
The best, actually, thing to do.
No.
That's
you
probably the worst thing to do.
You should not run away. That is the worst thing to do. Turning away and running away is the worst thing that you can do. Putting your arms up and creating a huge target, a visual optic for the bobcat is really what you need to do because you need to kind of almost intimidate the bobcat. And they can be intimidated if you create that large target. And then making loud noises but at a slow pace, like, you know, just saying, no, no, you know, that kind of thing. And that will actually scare the bobcat away. Again, they're mostly elusive. They try to avoid humans, you know, at all costs. But we see that, you know, it's a wild animal. Wild means that anything can happen, and that's exactly what it is.
There have been some other incidents, too, around the state, not in Fairfield, but a man was attacked by a fox in Southington on Saturday. Would it be the same kind of protocol for a fox or any other animals, like a raccoon, too? We've also heard about that being an issue.
Even a bear. I mean, the bottom line is that if you create a bigger target by extending your hands out, by screaming, by yelling, in a slow, you know, cadence, all these things make a huge difference. But more importantly, don't run away and don't just turn your back to them. And even more so, don't bend down because again, these wild animals like to attack the head and neck. And so it's important that you avoid that. But I will tell you this, there have been successful cases even across the country where people have fought off bobcats. They fought off foxes. They've used rocks, sticks, anything. Even a pen has been used in the past. You can be successful fighting an animal. It's just that you can't get so trembled in fear that you turn away. You know, that's really where you kind of start to lose the battle. But the most important thing is, listen, during dusk, during dawn is usually when they come out, and it's usually because they're looking for prey. During the evening hours, children should not be left unattended in a backyard where you have woods backed up to it that can possibly have some type of wild animal. And most importantly, when you take your pets out, you have to escort them outside. And don't leave pet food outside, because that's anything that can attract a wild animal will make your home a habitat for them.
You're just kind of asking for it at that point.
Right.
You really are.
You are because you have to understand that while you find some of the small animals cute and you want to kind of feed them, just know that behind it, there's a bigger animal waiting.
Absolutely.
So that's how you got to look at it. Yeah.
Exactly. Lieutenant Jim Perez with the Fairfield Police Department. My last question really quick, Jim, before we let you go, and I don't want to put you on the spot like this, but any idea if we're seeing an uptick in rabid animals, only because we have, like Lauren just mentioned a couple minutes ago, I thought the instance that happened in Weston, that was sort of out of nowhere with
the raccoon,
bus stop.
Right?
And a raccoon. And then obviously hearing in Southington, the fox incident. Now we're hearing this in Fairfield. Again, an array of different animals, but are we seeing an uptick, or is this kind of on par for what we see in Connecticut, the rabid animals?
Yeah, I think we're getting more attention for it now. I don't think there's an uptick in rabid animals, but I will tell you this, that oftentimes as we urbanize or grow even more, we're displacing these animals. So what's going to happen is as the population grows and we start to build out, these animals have nowhere to go. So you know, where they would normally spend their time sleeping, they're actually being displaced, literally. So they're actually walking around. But also, it's the winter time, so they're looking for their meals, because before they go into like a state of hibernation, they're kind of looking for their meal. But I don't think I really don't believe there's an actual uptick in rabies.
All right.
I think it's just we're hearing it more.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I do think as we keep developing more, we might see the problem more and more. So, Lieutenant Jim Perez, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. I know that this is
you're very welcome.
We appreciate it. And we'll be talking to you on Monday right before Christmas.
And every time I think that Luke Frey can't freak me out anymore, he sends me press releases and he freaks me out even more. Hey, Luke Frey with the Better Business Bureau. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I don't mean to scare you.
Well,
I just mean to educate you, Melissa. So
yeah, well, you do both. You do educate me, but then you also make me think, oh my gosh, I'll never buy a toy for my son again. Yeah. But I'm just kidding. You did send over something that I do think is very important, especially with the holiday season or even afterwards if people want to get those deals in the new year. It's called Don't Let Your Children's Smart Toys Outsmart You. And what this makes me think of is you and I talked a little bit about this during Black Friday with like smart TVs, Alexa. Mm-hmm. You know, we've heard about those electronics and I don't want to say spying on you, but getting information about you, like your name, your address, things like that. But now there are children's toys. What are you talking about?
Yeah, so I don't know if you heard, I believe it was last week, there were a ton of news packages about actually people's home cameras being hacked. I don't know if you saw any of that. And it was actually hackers coming into people's cameras they had in their homes and actually talking to them. So our bottom line there is basically any electronic item you have in your home connected to the internet could be hacked at some point. And same goes for children's smart toys. So what are smart toys? It can be a gaming console, a tablet, a computer. Even if it's a small children's tablet, often you have to create an account. Sometimes you have to enter in a credit card in order to make app purchases. Who knows? So it's always best to know what the privacy is on these toys and how you can kind of add your parental controls to them as well.
I did see that story that you're talking about with it was like the baby monitors, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So
I was in your home.
Yeah. So I was really, I felt bad for the couple of friends that have these baby monitors that record their kids, but I am not one of them. I am the old school. I took my mom's, actually, the ones that are literally like the walkie talkies. That's what I have in my house.
Okay.
So I had a little bit of a proud parent moment where I was like, simple is better, but that is really scary. But you know, when you talk about different electronics, you know, in our day, Luke, we had Tamagotchis. I think that was the most electronic thing we had, or the possessed Furbies. That was kind of like the crazy
craziest thing we had. But what are some of these toys? You know, if we've got parents or even grandparents who are thinking, okay, the hottest toys on the market, maybe they don't even realize that they purchased one of these toys. So what are or electronics? What are some of these? If you could list off maybe a couple, because I'm totally out of touch.
Sure. So as far as actual items, I believe a lot of parents don't even know about how these gaming consoles, too, it could be Xbox, any of those, how their children can actually talk to other people online through these gaming consoles. So if you are looking into an Xbox or a PlayStation or who knows, and your child, I would say, is under 12, I would kind of look at what those privacy policies are. Or even I was talking about these children's tablets. Maybe it's not an iPad per se. However, it's a tablet geared towards children. Again, looking at that privacy policy. So if your child opens up any of these gifts around Christmas, around the holidays, Hanukkah, it's always best to read that privacy policy. So I honestly tell people to curl up, grab a blanket, and read that privacy policy. And I'm not joking. I mean, you can read them online. Yes, it could be hundreds of pages long. However, you need to look for who is collecting data off of that toy, what it is collecting, how it is stored, and then who has access to it. And oftentimes you can also read about parental controls or other ways that you can hinder that info actually being shared with that company or other third parties.
Okay, so say we have parents or grandparents listening right now. They've already wrapped up these gifts. I would almost suggest you unwrap those gifts, read over those directions, read through all of those things, and make sure, right? Because, I mean, what are some of the things that we could be exposing that if we don't take these precautions in our kids' toys or electronics, what could we be exposing potentially?
Yeah, so I wouldn't say open up any Christmas presents too early. However, if you know you bought a smart toy, help your child create that account or open it or turn it on and kind of learn how it works too. And if you're totally out of the loop, I mean, kids know electronic toys, you know, great. So you might not know everything your child knows about it. So you can also go on YouTube and kind of figure out how that toy works if you don't know, but also help your child, you know, turn it on and see what they have to enter and see if they have to create an account and help them do that so that you know what they are entering into it, if that makes sense too. And all of these toys aren't bad either. I'm not saying all of these smart toys are awful. However, you just have to be well informed about what is being collected about your child, since they have to have your permission to enter any of this. And a lot of times kids are just like us and check a box that say a parent is doing it when they aren't. So again, helping your child open up these toys and see how they work and creating an account will help you kind of gauge what is being collected, if that makes sense.
Oh, it does. It absolutely makes sense. And Luke, the other thing that I love in here, which I don't think people do enough, but I definitely call it my cheat sheet in life, is if you have no idea what Luke is even talking about or what we're talking about right now, there's always a YouTube video that probably could tell you how to set some of these things up, right?
Yes. I mean, if you Google parental controls on Xbox, parental controls on a child's tablet or an iPad, you are sure to probably find that online, too. There are a lot of great resources on YouTube of people who are connoisseurs of about everything. So if you are confused about how something works, you're totally out of the tech game, and you're like, I don't know, my kid plays, he enjoys it, so that's great. However, if you want to be more educated about these privacy policies and what your child is actually able to connect to through that toy, it's always great to go online and kind of see what those possibilities are.
Absolutely. And Luke, before I let you go, if anybody has questions, where can they go to just check on the Better Business Bureau? Maybe you have some links or some sites where people can go to either report things or check on these toys. Where can they go to contact you guys?
Sure. So if you have any complaints towards a company, obviously you can always go to BBB.org and search that company. And if you want to read more about these smart toys and privacy policies, you can also go to BBB.org, scroll down to our news section, and it should be a head article down there.
All right. Luke Frey with the Better Business Bureau, even though you make me have nightmares sometimes because you give reality so much reality, I really do appreciate you. Thank you so much for talking to us about this. And let me think. No, we're not going to talk to you till the new year. So have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes, have a happy holidays.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much. That is Luke Frey with the Better Business Bureau. We have Russ Hackman with Hackman Wealth Partners. I was supposed to come to him at 9:05 this morning, but we had a little bit of a Christmas mix-up, which is on my part. Russ, do I have you here?
Yeah, right here. Melissa, how are you doing today?
I am a little bit flustered, but I'm doing just fine. How are you doing?
Doing fantastic. Just about to head into the city for a little shopping with my daughter, who's home from college. So going to be super fun.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great. Say hi to your daughter for us. That sounds like so much fun. Well,
yeah,
let's see.
Will do.
You frequently will mention to our listeners the risk of the recession and the market downturns, of course. Yet some recent indication seems to be pointing the other way. Let's talk about this a little bit because, of course, my generation going to be, definitely perked up about this, really any generation. What are you talking about here?
Well, I'd say in the last 3 to 6 months, Melissa, as we've been talking on the show, with the trade war and there were some reasonable economic headwinds and some signs that the recession, that the risk of recession and market downturn was increasing. And now what we're seeing is, about a week ago, it was announced that unemployment's at a 50-year low, so 3.5%. You're seeing the market achieve new highs. The S&P 500's up 25% now this year. And so now the question is, hey, we were talking about risk earlier in the year. Now we're seeing sort of the prevailing winds blowing the other way. So the question is, what sense do we sort of make of all this, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, and I think we should talk about the unemployment rate because the article that we were discussing earlier, are we at a 50-year low? Is that, am I reading that right?
Yeah, it is right, Melissa. And if you sort of compare that to 2010, to the peak at the Great Recession, so to speak. So that was in October of 2009. The U.S. unemployment rate peaked at 10%. So things really headed in the right direction. It appears that, despite some business trepidation from the trade war, et cetera, the consumer makes up about 70% of spending in the United States. So if consumers are happy and feeling confident in their jobs and spending well, then that really can overwhelm anything else. And I think that that's what's been happening.
We're talking to Russ Hackman of Hackman Wealth Partners here on WICC 600. You know him, of course, on Saturday mornings at 6:00, and he is the Wall Street Sweeper. And we love that we get to talk to him twice a week because he has a plethora of information. And this one is right up your alley, Russ, because, okay, you're talking about how we have reached a low, which is great employment-wise, but now let's talk about savings and things like that because I have to imagine this is great. We're making money. We have jobs. But now, from your perspective, what should people be thinking about when it comes to saving and investing? Because I think sometimes we sort of sit on, all right, I'm doing great, but then we don't actually change our habits whatsoever, and that actually could cost us in the long run.
Well, that's right, Melissa. And, really you've got to anticipate that that there are economic cycles, there are financial market cycles, and it's almost like things are always very rosy before the downturn. So I'm sort of listening. The analogy that I was looking at to sort of the current period is a little bit like during the Clinton years. I don't know if people remember that, but and a little bit prior to 2007. But during the Clinton years, sort of 92 to 2000, you really had a very long, sustained upturn. That drove unemployment to just about this level, 4% versus 3.5% now. everyone was very, very relaxed. And then about risk and ultimately technology stocks were going to new highs. We're seeing that now. So, you know, when we talk about investing in savings in the current market, it's, you know, what I'm typically saying to people, look, is if you're 50, 60 or older, you got to take a risk. You know, when you got to take a look at your portfolio when the markets are high here and kind of shock it down. Well, what if the market did drop 20-30% and see if that would be okay with you? It's important to do, even if it seems like everything's okay. You know, do you see what I mean?
Yeah, no, I absolutely do. And I think that every single kind of age group and sort of where you're at, everything sort of just, it depends. It really does. Every person has a different depending factor. So I feel like it's a good thing to have somebody like you in their back pocket where you can go and talk to somebody about this, because it can be very confusing. What I do with my family may be completely different than what my friends do, because maybe they don't have kids, or maybe they, you know, don't have a mortgage, whatever the case may be. It just seems like those things all are different. But I do have a question, though, because we do talk about the trade war very often with you, because I love to get your perspective on it. But I guess what kind of happened to that? Because I really thought that that was going to be a huge issue, I thought, for us as far as job-wise, economy, all of that. So where are we at with the trade war?
Well, I think what's happened is, obviously, there's been a sort of a temporary truce announced within the last couple of weeks between the U.S. and China. But I think overall, people have figured out that this was less of a major, you know, had the potential for less impact on our economy than some might have feared. So in other words, you know, I think China's felt some pain from this. The Chinese manufacturers, I think, have had to absorb a lot of the cost of tariffs. So a lot of the pain has been on their end. At the same time, a lot of U.S. manufacturers, a lot of manufacturing is shifting away from China to other Asian countries and even back to the U.S. So that is been less of a problem for, you know, U.S. businesses than, you know, some might have feared. And at the same time, again, you've got the U.S. consumer who's employed, who's feeling decently, I think, maybe a little better in places outside of Connecticut, like in the major cities. You see that those are driving, even New York City, driving a lot of economic growth. So, you know, that kind of positivity is overwhelming any negative effects of the trade war.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just such an interesting thing, because I know working in news, you know, as soon as we knew the trade war was, you know, came about us months ago, immediately you hear about all these, you know, negativities, and you start to kind of, your brain sort of goes into a spiral effect almost, and you think, okay, this is going to have a trickle effect on X, Y, and Z, and you start to, you know, kind of worry about that, but it doesn't feel like the U.S. really has had this crazy economic impact after the trade war. Am I crazy, or is that kind of what's happening?
No, I think that is right. Again, the consumer's powering forward. There's a lot of positive headwinds throughout the U.S. Although I was reading an interesting article the other day that said, like, the bulk of growth is concentrated into less than 50 counties in the U.S. So that includes huge counties like Los Angeles County, New York County. But, you know, I think across the – so low, I think if you talk to people in Connecticut, you know, where property values are falling, there's some, you know, fiscal issues with the state, you know, people aren't feeling quite as rosy. So it's also interesting to think that, you know, economic growth has been more localized. And there are still many, many pockets where people, you know, aren't feeling so good. Sort of the last thing that I would say is I think everyone just needs to appreciate, you know, there are cycles. And, you know, it's our job to help people prepare for the inevitable downturns. Doesn't mean you start sticking your money in a mattress. But especially if you're older, you got to be careful. I still remember some people who got absolutely killed in 99, 2000, when things blew up. Like, we do have some very big valuations in tech stocks now. That could be an analogy to what will, you know, the next crash. And there will be one. It's just a matter of when.
Right. And Russ, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
They can give us a call, Melissa, at 203-884-0878. Again, that's 203-884-0878. They can Google me, Russell Hackman, or go to our website at hackmanwealth.com. That's H-A-C-K MANNWealth.com.
Russ Hackman, thank you so much for spending the time talking to us. Have a great time shopping with your daughter in the city. We'll talk to you Tuesday.
Thank you, Melissa. Have a great one.